Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I greet you in the wonderful name which is above every name, the name of Jesus. I'm so glad you joined me today. Well, on today's broadcast, we're going to continue looking at our blood covenant. In the most recent broadcast, we've been looking at the covenant promises that are provided through the blood covenant that we have through the Lord Jesus Christ. First of all, we saw that there was divine protection afforded to us in every area of our lives. And then on yesterday's broadcast, we just began to look at another covenant promise, which is our justification. Romans 5 and 9 says, "Much more than being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him." And that's just as if we've never sinned. Now, I would like to take us to a passage of Scripture found in the book of Leviticus, the 14th chapter, and I'm going to read verses 1 through 7. And this is an amazing portrayal, a complete picturing, if you will, foreshadowing of the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. I know the first time I read this, it didn't have much significance or meaning to me, but there's everything in the Word of God has meaning. We just have to wait upon the Holy Spirit to give us understanding and revelation. But let me share those passages of Scripture with you. Chapter 14 in the book of Leviticus. "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, This shall be the law of the leper in the day of his cleansing. He shall be brought unto the priest, and the priest shall go forth out of the camp, and the priest shall look, and behold, if the plague of leprosy be healed in the leper, then shall the priest command to take for him that is to be cleansed two birds, alive and clean, and cedar wood, and scarlet, and hyssop." Note all the things that the priest had to get. "And the priest shall command that one of the birds be killed in an earthen vessel over running water. As for the living bird, he shall take it, and the cedar wood, and the scarlet, and the hyssop, and shall dip them, and the living bird, in the blood of the bird that was killed over the running water. And he shall sprinkle upon him that is to be cleansed from the leprosy seven times, and shall pronounce him clean, and shall let the living bird loose into the open field." Now, just on surface reading, we might not say, well, what's the point of all that? But there is a beautiful application and analogy that we can apply not only to the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus, but some absolutely wonderful spiritual truths that will apply to us in the day in which we're living. What do we see in what I've just shared with you? We see that there were two birds, right? And one bird was killed in an earthen vessel. What does that speak to you? A clay pot. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. And that refers to humanity, refers to human flesh. He was killed in an earthen vessel over running water. And then the live bird with the wood and the scarlet cloth and the branch were dipped in blood, and the leper was sprinkled seven times. Of course, we know seven is the number of completion. Every numeral has spiritual significance, prophetic significance, and at that point, the leper was pronounced clean and the living bird was released, let go. He was free to go to the open field. And now there's some wonderful spiritual truths that I want to share with you. The two birds, if you will, represent the crucified Lord Jesus and the resurrected Lord Jesus. Now, the priest had to go forth out of the camp. That was verse 3. Remember, the priest shall go forth out of the camp. And the priest was looking at the leper, which is, this leprosy is a representation, a prophetic expression, if you will, of sin, our condition. And this leper who was seeking to be healed or pronounced clean, the priest had to go to him because, you know, lepers, I mean, that was a very contagious disease, and they were removed out of the camp. They weren't allowed to dwell with those who were healthy. Remember when Miriam sinned against the Lord, spoke against her brother Moses? She was stricken with leprosy, and she had to stay outside the camp of Israel for 7 days as a punishment for what she had, she and Aaron had conspired to start to criticize and rebuke Moses for the Ethiopian wife he had married. And so God let them know his stand on that issue. Nonetheless, we see that this was a picture of Jesus' work of redemption for us. The priest had to go outside the camp, and we know from Hebrews 13 and 12, Jesus suffered outside the gates of Jerusalem. That's exactly what occurred centuries later when Jesus came to be the Lamb of God sacrificed for us. And of course, what does the cedar wood represent? Well, that represents the tree, the wood, the cross that Jesus was put upon. And of course, the red cloth that was dyed red, that was stained, and that is, of course, red is the picture of blood. And hyssop, well, that's the branch of a tree or a bush, and it's not very strong. It was suitable for sprinkling. And let me turn now to the word of the Lord in Jeremiah, the 23rd chapter, verse 5. And here, the word of the Lord comes through the prophet Jeremiah, which declares, and this is a prophetic declaration of the coming Messiah, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch," hallelujah, "and a king shall reign and prosper and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth." I have to read verse 6. "In his days Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely. And this is his name, whereby he shall be called the Lord our righteous." Righteousness, and that is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God, praise God. And also, we see, you know, if you recall, as I shared in the book of Exodus, that the Israelites had to take hyssop and sprinkle blood on the doorposts. Well, it was perfect for sprinkling. It wasn't very strong. It was flexible, and it just wasn't a substance of great strength. And so we now turn to the book of Matthew, and I want you to see what the word of the Lord says in reference to Jesus in the 12th chapter, verse 17 through 21. I'm going to be reading. Verse 17 says, actually, Jesus spoke to his disciples, and that he charged them that they should not make him known, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, this is talking about Jesus, "Behold my servant, whom I have chosen," this is the Lord speaking, "my beloved, in whom my soul is well pleased, I will put my spirit upon him, and he shall shew judgment to the Gentiles." Listen to this, "He shall not strive, nor cry, neither shall any man hear his voice in the streets. How gentle our Savior is. A bruised reed shall he not break, and smoking flax shall he not quench, till he send forth judgment unto victory. And in his name shall the Gentiles trust." Beloved, that's you and me. And so this hyssop is a beautiful symbol of the Lord Jesus. He came as a weak infant born as a babe in the manger, in the, you know, the body of his flesh. He was weak. He was just a man as we are, subject to like passions as we, yet without sin. And yet this Lamb of God who came in weakness and suffered the wrath of God to be placed upon him in its fullness and its completion for our redemption, praise God. He was weak then. He came as a suffering servant. But beloved, when he comes the second time, it shall be as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He shall come as King of kings and Lord of lords, riding on that beautiful white horse. On his thigh, King of kings and Lord of lords is written. And he shall come in flaming retribution to execute vengeance upon his enemies. It says in the book of Revelation, the blood in the valley of Armageddon shall run 4 feet high to the horses' bridles. Can you imagine that? He will trample the winepress of his fury. He will come as a fearsome conqueror. It says the wicked of the world shall cry out to have the rocks fall on them. They'll seek to hide in the caves, to hide themselves from the wrath, the face of him who has come to execute judgment on those who refused his salvation. Beloved, he's coming as a mighty conqueror. He came as a suffering servant. He came as a weak hyssop branch, if you will, to allow the blood to be applied to our lives, just as that hyssop was applied and it was covered with blood and that bird was killed and the live bird was relieved. Such a beautiful picture of the Lord's resurrection. That second bird released in the field with the blood of the first, it represents the resurrected Christ sprinkling his own blood on the mercy seat before the Father in heaven. It was done 7 times, reflecting perfection and completeness. It was done over running water. It was a shadow of the eternal Spirit. Beloved, what beautiful symbology, if you will. What a beautiful representation of what Jesus did in what seems to be this obscure Old Testament sacrifice. Praise God. Well, my time is gone. I've got much more to share with you. However, this is taking longer than I expected. We'll have to continue on the next broadcast next week. I invite you to tune in then. God bless you. Thank you for listening. If you have prayer needs, I invite you to write. And also, if the Lord's moving on your heart, he's got a reason for doing it. And if he's moving on you to help financially, what a blessing that would be. I love you. And until next time, this is Sister Glass. Say, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
Well, this has been the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Sister Glass. Thank you for spending time with us. We pray it's been a time of ministry and encouragement for you. If you would like to write to Sister Glass, there are a couple of ways you can do so. You can write and address your envelope to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. Or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop Sister Glass an email. Again, write to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606. Or send her an email through our website, unveiledchrist.org. And please remember that your prayers and tax-deductible support allow this ministry to continue on this station. Until next time, God bless. Oh,